I was so excited last night about Jonah chapter 3. Wasn't that an awesome chapter? I mean, Jonah arises, he goes, and he preaches, and it appears like everything is good. God does something miraculous with one man's obedience. He did obey, did he not? He went into the city. He cried the message. He preached the message that God told him or bid him to preach. Did he not? Yes or no? And when he obeyed, man, the miracle that God did with his life. It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, from the least to the greatest, they all repented. Did they not? I didn't go into it, but the king did two things. It's pretty amazing what the king did. It's amazing how the gospel broke through, but then the king took over the messaging of the Bible, of the gospel, of the news of the prophet, and the Bible says that he not only proclaimed, but then he had it literally broadcast. It's the idea that he had all of his nobles. He sent the nobles, and they became ordained by the king to not only write out the news of the king, but also to proclaim it. And all of Nineveh is in sackcloth and fasting and turning to the Lord. Man, that had to be amazing. Because you know what happens? There's a certain joy that comes when you get right with God. Some of you have sensed it this week. There's a difference in camp. There's always a difference in camp of the singing on Monday night and the singing on like Wednesday and Thursday night. It's just different. You heard it tonight, didn't you? It comes from a different heart. It's not that the voice has changed, it's the heart that's changed. You're singing differently. And so that's where Nineveh's at. I mean, they went from a wicked place to a place of humility and a place of joy and a place of peace. And it's just so good in chapter 3. And then we come to chapter 4 and it's like, ah! Who's this guy in chapter 4? What happened to Jonah? Is that right? I mean, the conversation is not like, God, I want to thank you for the great revival. No, the conversation is like, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, chapter 4, is tripping up. He's tripping up. And it's not because he didn't have the knowledge. It's not because he didn't have the background. It's not because he didn't have the training. It was because he never dealt with his stinking self. And that old snake that always trips us up, that if we didn't quite cut its head off, comes back up in chapter 4. You know, sometimes we read about great victories in the Bible, and, you know, when I think about that, I think of David and Goliath. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? I love preaching about David and Goliath. I love it when he cuts the head off and he holds it up and all the Philistines take off running the opposite way. The greatest battle you'll ever win is not the battle with Goliath. It's not the battle with your parents. It's not the battle of something else. It's going to be the battle of yourself. Battle of yourself. I want to deal with this subject tonight, and I want you to notice in chapter 4 here that there is a mindset, and notice what the Bible says in verse 1. We're gonna try to break this down tonight. I'm asking the Lord to do a work in your heart. And notice what it says in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, And he was very, what's the next word?
Angry.
About 2 years ago, I was reading an illustration out of USA Today. Pennsylvania, which is not too far from here, Pennsylvania, a 13-year-old girl pulled out a gun and shot her 44-year-old mother and killed her. When the police arrived at the door, she told them the reason of her murdering her mother. Can you imagine the police walking into the kitchen and there's mom laying on the ground in a pool of blood and there's a 13-year-old teenager standing there and there's a handgun on the counter. When the police began to question her and asked her what was going on and what had happened, she said, "I got into an argument. It just wasn't right. It wasn't fair." And they asked her what the argument was, and she said this, "My mother took my cell phone away." But the problem wasn't the cell phone. The problem was a 13-year-old who all of her life had gotten her own way. She was a self-centered person. And when someone did not yield to her, she responded. Isn't it amazing how life is really great as long as all the world conforms to what I want? Yes or no? As long as I get the front seat, as long as we order the Pop-Tarts that I want, as long as we buy my cereal, as long as we put the food on that I want, as long as we go to my restaurant, I'm pretty easy to get along with. As long as you buy me the things that I desire and get me the clothes and the shoes that I want and I get my way and I can listen to my songs. But the moment that any of that goes counter to me, there is a response. Because I am used to getting my way. And I just want to say something to this generation and listen to me. I'm convinced that this generation has gotten more of what they want than any other generation in the past. I'm not gonna talk to you about walking through the snow and having to do chores, and I could give you some stories of when I was a kid, but I'm just gonna tell you, every generation it seems to get easier for the next generation. I mean, just easier and more convenient and so forth like that. And I'm just telling you that there is a self or a spoiled mindset that takes place. And here's a 13-year-old girl, and probably most people in this room would never say, "No, I would never shoot my mom over a cell phone." But you've said things to your parents and you've thought things in your head that are just as ungodly. Jonah was angry. He was hot. He was upset because God did not respond and maneuver the way that he wanted God to respond. Some might be sitting here today and you might be upset about the parents you got. You might be upset about the brothers or the sisters or the siblings in your life. You may often, under your breath, say things like, "It's not fair, it's not right, things don't go my way, this is not what I expected." And by the way, listen to me, sometimes things in our life don't go our way and it's not our fault. Man, I was at a camp this year and dealing with a guy, and I'm just going to tell you something, man. I listened to the story of what had taken place and how that they were thrown in the system and how their parents had critically dropped the ball, and then in foster care, the abuse that had taken place. I'll be honest with you. Man, I was looking at their life, and it was like an egg that somebody dropped, and it was just in a million pieces. Maybe there's a young person in this room, and before you came to camp, your parents said this word: "We're getting a divorce. When you come back, we need to talk." Maybe you were landed with some type of news that was just overwhelming, and you're trying to figure out how to handle that or how to deal with that, and it's pretty heavy. Or maybe you got on the bus and before you left, your mom or your dad was diagnosed with the disease, or your dad got papers and he's going to have to move, and you're thinking, man, my whole life is going to be uprooted and turned around, and that's not what I want to do, and I don't know how to deal with it, and I don't know how to handle it. And I want to just say, sometimes there are things in our life that are out of our control that God allows to happen in our life. But the truth is, no matter if it's your doing or somebody else's doing, listen to me, Jonah here came to a place in his life, and there's two things that I want you to notice in verse 1. The Bible says, but, there's that word again that keeps coming up throughout chapter 1, chapter 2, now we're in chapter 4, but it, now I want you to capture this word, verse, the third word of verse 1, what is it? But it what? Displeased Jonah, and here's a word that we've seen several times in this book, exceedingly. We talked about the storm. Exceedingly. We talked about the men being afraid. Exceedingly. Now we're talking about Jonah, and we're using this word exceedingly, and we're saying that it displeased Jonah. Now notice this, and because it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he, here's the outcome, and he was very, what's the next word?
Angry.
Angry. So I want us to notice this word anger here in this passage, because the truth is that anger, you know, when we hear that word anger, the word anger literally means something that is kindling, something that is building up, something that is going on inside, and it is causing the fires to be stoked. And when I think of that word anger, I'm thinking of inside feelings that are kind of erupting and exploding. They're going out of control. But back up, if you would, and notice with me the third word there where it says it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Now, here's the word displease. The word displease has the idea of to be spoiled. It's the idea of something that is in many pieces. It's the idea of something that comes into my life that erupts what happens. And I want you to capture these words. I want you to listen to me. Something that comes into my life, planned or unplanned, designed or undesigned, but when it comes into my life, the Bible says that it causes me to respond, and the word displeased means to go into pieces. Have you ever heard somebody say a phrase like this? Man, I just fell apart. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, that just knocked me over. I mean, I just fell apart. I just came undone. That just smashed me into a million pieces. That's exactly what the word displease is happening in Jonah's life. Let me just say it like this. Have you ever been in a situation where you got some news, maybe in a game? I've been in this situation. You're in a game and the ref calls a call, and you don't think the call is fair. Anybody ever been there? And a coach pulls you aside and says this: "Look at me. I need you to hold it together." Here's a word that's used in our family. You better get a grip on it. Everybody got it right here? It means you don't go out there and throw a fit and grab your helmet and slam it in the ground and take your bat and chunk it in the woods and say, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." I'm not making a story up. I was in a cabin, 2 weeks ago, it's raining. Boy comes running into our cabin. He's running into my cabin, literally has blood running down his face. He comes in, he's like, I'm so mad, I'm gonna kill him, And I'm telling you, he had a gash on his cheek, he had a gash here, he had to go get stitches, broken nose, and he's standing in my cabin and he's bleeding. It was a fight over something that was about that big. Can I tell you what the fight was over? Somebody ran their mouth. Literally. And the one boy said, come over here and hit me. Come over here and hit me. And the boy just came over and hit him. About three times. And he was a big old 6'2" boy. And I'm thinking, of all the kids to pick on, don't pick on the giant, you know. Now I want you to catch this. So here is Jonah. He doesn't like what somebody is doing to him, what somebody is saying to him. He doesn't like it. And so because he doesn't like it, watch this. The walls that guard his emotions, that keep his emotions intact, they fall apart. Is everybody with me? And when those walls fall to pieces, then his emotions begin to run the show and they begin to overflow. And you'll know that two words go in the same verse. He is displeased and very angry. Does everybody watch that? So it's kind of like, all right, here's a bad call. What are you going to do? And then the guy takes his helmet off and he chucks it. He takes his bat and he throws it. Then he starts going off on the coach. And so he falls to pieces. His emotions take over. His feelings run wild. And then he becomes very angry. Is everybody with me on that? So it's important for you to understand this. You need to understand this. That in the first part of this verse, Jonah, listen to me when I say this. Jonah had a choice. He had a choice in how he was going to respond. I don't have a choice. Yes, you do have a choice. Yeah, but you don't know what. Yes, you do have a choice. But you don't know what, my brother. Yes, you do have a choice. Don't sit here and give yourself a license to have a bad attitude and say for the rest of your life, I don't have a choice. You do have a choice. You just don't know how I feel. You're right, I don't know how you feel. But you're allowing your feelings to cause you to be very angry. And I've watched people get out of church. I've watched people do stupid stuff. I watched a guy join the army to prove a point to his mom and dad. I'll show them. Got to be kidding me. I've watched people drop out of church. I've watched people stop reading their Bible. Because something this big happened in their life. Are you with me? And they didn't get victory in chapter one, and they went to camp, and 3 months later, we're back in chapter four. Because they never got victory over their self. Is everybody with me? Yeah. It's not the cell phone. It's not the handgun. It's your heart. Everybody with me on this? Displeased. I didn't get my way. I fall apart. Emotions. And here's the cycle. And then I become what? Angry. Now let me describe anger in two ways. When we look at Jonah, we would see his anger. And I would say this about his anger, that his anger is internal. He goes outside the city and he kind of sits in silence and he pouts. It's internal. When I think of King Saul, I think of a person who has the same problem, but his anger is not internal. His anger is external. I remember King Saul, and when he got angry, he didn't have a scepter in his hand. He literally had a spear in his hand. I've got a feeling, and I've said this before preaching through Saul, I've got a feeling in the back of his courtroom there was like spear marks in the wall, probably blood print, you know. It was like, people have told him, and, you know, hey, the meal's going to be, you know, they burnt the meal. It's going to be 30 minutes late. What? There's, you know, the cooks, you know, now got a spear and they're in the back of the wall. How many understand that Saul threw the spear at David twice? Now I want you to catch something, because you see Saul. Now, here's exactly what I'm talking about. When we see Saul throwing the spear at David, stay with me. And Saul is a self-centered king, and he throws the spear at David. Do you remember what David's response was? How many think that probably displeased David? No, come on. He's working for this guy. He's playing the harp. And he throws a spear at him. That had to be kind of a hurtful thing to David, yes or no? You know what the Bible says about David? That David got very angry and ripped the spear out of the wall and said, "I'll give it right back at you, Saul." Whack! Now, let me tell you what it says about David. You can look at it later. The Bible says that David behaved himself wisely. Saul's out of control. David behaves himself how? And the second time that the spear come, the Bible says that David behaved himself more wisely. Is everybody with me on this? Matter of fact, I'm just going to say this to everybody. I'm convinced that the reason that Solomon, when he became king, prayed for wisdom was because he watched his father behave himself so wisely and said, "I need what daddy had." Now listen to me. You've given yourself this excuse, I just can't help myself. No, you can behave yourself. You can get a grip. I've looked at them many times, and I said, "You've got an attitude, you can either change it, or I'm going to help you change it." What you going to do? You're going to be able to change your attitude? Yes, sir. All right. Now. You expect me to just change my attitude right now? It's a choice. Yes or no, it's a choice. If you got a free week of tickets to Disney World, I guarantee you could change your attitude. Come on, yes or no? You'd be like, "Oh yeah." Isn't it amazing that when you want to, you can behave wisely? And when you want to, you can behave like a fool. And he's losing the battle in chapter 4. He's had so many blessings in his life, and he's acting like a fool because he is a self-centered person. Everybody got it? Now, I want you to see a couple of things, and then we're gonna try to be fast tonight. I want you to notice the first thing that happens when you are self-centered. I want you to notice how that self-centered people always argue. There's always, here's a word, there's always strife. I wanted that bunk. I wanted to go there. I wanted, and then if they do yield, All right. And they yield with an attitude. Because there's always strife when somebody is self. There's always strife. Notice his prayer. Would you notice this guy's prayer? It's interesting to me. We dealt a lot with chapter 2. In chapter 2, he prayed. And in chapter 2, he prayed like a broken man, didn't he? In chapter 2, listen to me, if I can say this. And now that we preach through this, we'll see the wisdom of it. In chapter 2, he prayed as if he was at the end of himself. Chapter 4 is the second prayer that is recorded of Jonah. And the second prayer is not a man who is at the end of himself, but it's a prayer of a man who is full of himself. Is everybody with me on this? Chapter 2, my soul fainteth. Salvation's of the Lord. Don't you wish we always prayed like chapter 2? But I've got a battle and you've got a battle. You know what that battle is? It's my cell phone. No, it's not your cell phone. The reason you got a problem with your cell phone is because you got a problem with yourself. Well, I have a problem with being lazy. No, you have a problem with yourself. Well, I have a problem with making friends. No, you have a problem with yourself. Well, I have a problem with my parents. No, your parents aren't the problem. You don't know how to behave wisely. By the way, I could tell you stories of young people that were in a good, godly youth group and their parents were alcoholics. I remember on a Sunday night driving a girl home from church. My wife and I were driving her home and she got out of her car. She got out of the church van and as she's walking to the house, her father, who is a coal miner, comes out and he's been drinking his check from Friday night to Sunday night. And he's stone drunk. And he comes out and there's a stack of bricks. And he grabs the bricks and he starts chunking them at his 15-year-old daughter. Cursing her out. I'm telling you, listen to me. Joy is not dependent upon the world. Dependent upon your heart. Yes. By the way, say what happened to her? She went to ambassador for a year. Married a guy and a servant in a church. Praise God for that. Drunk dad throwing bricks at the church van, cursing his own daughter. She's standing there, Dad, please, please stop throwing bricks. I finally jump out and I'm like, Jenny, get in the car. She got in the car. She stayed at our house for 3 days. I finally took her home. Did you know in those 3 days, no one called? Yeah, but my mom, what, your mom took you to church? And you got a problem? Come on. Somebody's self-centered. Everybody with me on this? Notice his prayer in verse 2. Here's a self-centered man. He's losing the battle. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. Now I want you to look at this. Was not this my what? Saying. Stop just for a second. This self-centered, he goes all the way back to chapter 1, and he's arguing with God. There's strife that's taking place, and this is this recurring struggle that he has in his life, and he's going back with this mindset, and he's like, this is how I thought in chapter 1. Is everybody with me? Man, we've gone backwards, not forwards. I thought we got victory over this. Now, we never got victory over this, did we? This was my saying when I was yet in my country. Therefore, I fled. I was right to flee. Notice what he says. Before unto Tarshish. For I what? Well, come on, you got to get better than that. For I what?
Knew.
Isn't it amazing that self-centered people are always right?
You're right.
Can't argue with them. They're always right. They're always right. Notice what he says. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great mercy, and repentest of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, notice Jonah here. He is arguing with the Lord. He is always right. He's going to cause strife. And the reason is because he is self-centered and in his life. He is selfish. He has literally, can I say this? He has forgotten his own mercy, as 1 Peter talks about. He has forgotten that his sins were washed away. Here he is. He's angry that God has forgiven these people. Jonah, have you forgotten what God did in your life? But he overlooks all of that. And this bitterness springs up, and this arguing springs up, and this prayer reveals this self-centered person. I want you to notice something else, that a person who is selfish, I want you to notice here that in ministry, they stop. They stop. Jonah, we don't have a chapter 5. We don't have another revival. We literally have Jonah come spiritually and he just stops. By the way, have you ever seen somebody that used to be fruitful in their Christian life and then all of a sudden they got hurt or something happened and they came to a place where they just stopped? I mean, they were in church, but they just stopped singing. They stopped serving. They did the bare minimum, but they just stopped. And that's where Jonah is at. He spiritually, he has come to a halt in his life. There's no altar. There's no devotion. There's no prayer life. There's no ministry. No, he's justified in his actions, and he has just come to a place where he will stop. Notice what he says in verse 3, and I want you to see something about people that are self-centered. You cannot argue with them. They are always right. And notice here that he says in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to what? Die than to... Let me ask you a question. Radical or irradical? Rational or irrational? Drama? I'm never going back again. I'm just done with it. I'm just done. I'm just not going to do it. What's wrong? Well, you just wouldn't explain it. You just wouldn't understand it if I explained it to you. Well, they know they're being over the top. Isn't that true? By the way, I want to just say something, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but suicide is the most selfish act a person can do. Suicide is the act of somebody who is self-centered, and you can't rationalize with them, yes or no? You can't. They're convinced they have the answer. Notice what he says in the passage. He's requesting. Now, I want you to just think about this. Revival has taken place, and what's Jonah asking? He's asking for God to take his life. I don't see a reason for me to live. There's no hope. There's no help. Notice here that the Lord is trying to be logical with him. The Lord is trying to help him to think through this. And he asked him a question in verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be what?
Angry.
Now, I want you to notice verse 4, and I want you to tell me what Jonah's response was to the Lord in verse 5. What did he say to the Lord? What did he say to the Lord? What did he say to the Lord? Now, I want you to just picture this just for a second. Time out. If I was talking to my 15-year-old daughter and I asked her a question and she turned around and walked off with an attitude, probably my response would be like, hey, did you hear me? I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, you didn't. Everybody with me on this? Arrogance has a quality of rudeness to it. And that's a self-centered person. I don't have to answer you. What? This is God. Yes or no? This is God asking him a question. Doest thou well to be angry? And he just walks off and doesn't even answer. And I want to just say, hey, just send an angel to smack him in the face. How many think he's acting like a fool? Now, I want you to notice his silence, but here's the thing that I think is probably the most dangerous and the thing that you and I do the most whenever we are self-centered. Notice the last thing that he does. Verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the what?
City.
I want you to notice how that Jonah is silenced. He doesn't answer God. He doesn't feel like God deserves an answer. He's prayed. His prayer in chapter 2 was a unique prayer because he was at the end of himself. His prayer in chapter 4 is quite full of strife, and he's arguing because he's full of himself. Everybody getting the picture tonight? Yes or no? And so now God asks him a question, and here's his response. He goes outside the city. I'm going to just add a little tone to the verse. Builds him a booth. And he's going to sit there, I don't know, 38 days, 37 days. He's waiting for the judgment to come. Remember, 40 days and God's going to destroy Nineveh. So he's going to wait and see what's going to happen. I want you to see this. People that are always self-centered, when they don't get their way, they separate from everybody else. They pull away. Where are you going, Jonah? Oh, I'm going to just sit over here by myself. Hey, we got visitors coming into Vacation Bible School here tonight. Would you guys go over and talk to them? No, we're going to sit over here by ourselves. Pretty self-centered. Yes or no? Hey, we're so glad you came to our church. So glad you came to our church. Man, we want you to meet the people. We want you to meet our young people. They're the most selfless teenagers you'll ever find. Let me see if I can get a couple of them to come talk to you. It's pretty sad when a pastor and a youth pastor has to beg people to go talk to people because they're so self-centered. Where's Jonah? Everybody's rejoicing. They just had revival, yes or no? Come on, yes or no? If there's ever a time they needed a preacher and a prophet, it's right now. Show them the way of righteousness. I mean, this is like discipleship. There's not a pastor that I would think that wouldn't like be so excited to have Disciple 101 with these group of people. And the king is sitting there in sackcloth. Man, what an opportunity to talk to a guy. Where's Jonah? Pouting. He's positioned himself outside the city. Why are you moping? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Why can you only talk to the other two people that you think feel for your feelings? I'll tell you why. Because you're self-centered. It's funny to me how people will make up, Brother Rocky, it's amazing to me how young people will make a decision And then I will hear about it 3 months later, and I'll be like, I wonder why they never came and talked to their pastor. And then I get this statement, well, I already knew what you were going to say. Self-centered people always know. Don't they? They always know. They always know. There's always strife. I want you to get this and then I'm done. Self-centered people become full of themselves. Listen to what I'm about to say. When they become full of themselves, they have an empty future. Because you just recycle. Is everybody with me? What's wrong? Well, I didn't get this. I didn't get accepted. I didn't get what I wanted. I'm displeased. Now I'm angry. Now I'm separating. Now the next day, something else happened in my life. And I'm self-centered again, and I'm displeased. And I'm angry, and I'm pulling away, and I'm causing strife. And there's just this merry-go-round that I'm on, that I'm constantly on, and I'm unhappy because my life seems to be empty. And the reason my life is constantly empty is because I'm full of myself. And then you see somebody that finally gets victory over self, and they become empty. And you know what happens when you become empty? Your life becomes full. Amen. That's exactly how it works. An empty life becomes a full life. And a full life becomes an empty life. Now, you know why I'm dealing with this so hard? Because it's not just Jonah that has this problem. Every single person, including myself, has this battle. And if you don't get the victory in chapter 1, it'll come back up in chapter 4. And you may have some glimpses of chapter 3s in your life after you've been spit out by a well and beaten up by God and you're humbling yourself, and you may see a glimpse, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't deal with yourself, it comes back again and again and again and again and again, and you go through this constant recycle of life. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of people that are out of church, no longer coming to church, no longer reading their Bible. They're trying to please themselves, and you can never fill that great void. And a selfish, self-centered. Now I want to just say this. A self-centered. Do you understand when I say self-centered? It means that in my world, I am the center of it. Is everybody with me? You can be in my world as long as I'm in the center of it. Is everybody with me? That's what self-centered is. What am I going to do today? Whatever feels good to me. Are you going to the teen activity? Am I going to have any fun? Is there going to be some other teenagers there that I might like? Oh, I forgot. You only go to teen activities where you're self-centered. Because you wouldn't go to a teen activity to minister to somebody else. Because that would cause you to be God-centered, and you're not there. You're only self. Everybody getting it? Yeah. Self-centered. You know what has ruined great youth groups? Young people that are self-centered. You know what's ruined churches? people that are self. I'll go, but am I going to like the food? Am I going to like the people? Am I going to like it? Oh, I forgot. You live in a world that is self. Say it.
Center.
Yeah. Everybody getting a picture tonight? You know who goes to the mission field? Not self-centered people. By the way, I'm just gonna tell you this. The only way that your marriage is ever going to work is when you stop being self-centered. No, I'm just gonna be the best husband or the best wife in the world. No, you're gonna fight like cats and dogs because you are self-centered. Yep.
Amen.
Everybody with me on this? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I'm just asking, Lord, that your word would be the hammer tonight and that it would help us and that it would give a breaking to our heart. I pray that tonight some young people would understand the power of coming to the end of themselves. And I pray that you would help some young people to come and humble themselves before God and recognize their strife, their arrogance, their spirit of always arguing, that they would recognize how they pull away and separate whenever they don't get their way. I pray that tonight you would just shine the light on the behavior that comes from a self-centered individual. And I pray tonight that you would raise up some Davids, that there might be some people in here that would serve God, that would learn how to behave themselves wisely, who would come to the end of themselves. Help us tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I wonder who would say this. Brother Nance, tonight I was convicted. I was convicted by Jonah's struggle because I have the same exact problem. I argue. I call strife. Maybe there's some in this room and your anger is outward. Maybe there's some of you in here and your anger is inward. I wouldn't even know you're angry unless I could somehow listen to the conversation that's in your heart. You say things under your breath. You write things in your diary that no one will ever see that exposes the true anger in your heart. And you'd say, Brother Nance, tonight, I'm just going to be honest with you and I'm going to be transparent. I am losing the battle and I am pretty self-centered and I need help. I've been losing this battle for years. I'm self-centered. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you put your hand up tonight? God's speaking to you. Put it up high. Put it up high. I'm losing the battle. I am self-centered. Tonight, I want you can put your hands down. I just want to remind you of this, that just as Brandon in that illustration was honest when I said, I need you to throw Jonah overboard, and he said, I can't. I want you to understand tonight that you cannot have victory over yourself without the power of Jesus Christ. But if you will come tonight and you will humble yourself and you will confess that as sin and recognize that the problem is my world is built around myself and it's not built around God, I'm telling you, God can give grace to the humble. He can give grace to the humble.